Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. And this is the Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We're so happy that you're joining us today. We know that God has to work for you. And we're excited about the season that we're in. I'm telling you, this is the season of giving. And when you realize that, recognize that, then you look for opportunities to give. So whether that be of your finances or your time, your skills, your abilities, maybe you open a door for someone to help them to get down the road. Whatever it is, give, give, give. And you'll find out that as you're giving, someone else will be seeking to give. And you can receive, receive, receive. Now, before we go any further, I want to get into our announcements and everything. Prophetess Crystal.
Good morning, everybody. Once again, welcome to Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. This morning's announcements are as follows. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join Apostle Christopher McQueen and myself for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. On Thursday night at 7 o'clock, join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. And you can hear all of our broadcasts live or in the archives at www.ctkr.org. And while you're there, if you would like to invite us or if you would like any information concerning our churches or just need prayer requests, please go to our contact page and all the information is located right there. Be as detailed as you possibly can. Amen. Also, we ask that if you would also visit us on our Facebook page as well. Like us under Christ the King Redemptive Ministries or Kingdom on Women of Prophetic Destiny. Go there to our Facebook page.
Man, that's the broadcast, but you want to on the page.
Amen. Go there and please like us, you know, give us a shout out. We would love to hear from you. Those are our quick announcements for this morning as we get right into the Word of God. Come on and let us pray. Amen. Father, in the blessed name of Jesus, we thank you this morning. This is the day that you have made. We are rejoicing. We're glad in it. We're glad to be here. Father, we just marvel at your name. We just thank you. We praise you. We glorify you. You are wonderful. Now, God, as we come, your people, we have our cups out. We're ready to receive from you this morning. Father, we open up our ears and our hearts. Purify us, God, in your presence. Purify us so that we may be made whole. Wash us clean in your blood, in the mighty name of Jesus. That we may partake of your word, God, and that we would just no longer be hearers, but that we will begin to be activated to be doers of your word, in the mighty name of Jesus. May clear our purpose. May clear out the vision. God make clear, excuse me, our place in the kingdom. We thank you. We acknowledge you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And amen. We're so grateful for all that God is doing. As I've said, and we know that this is the day and the time that God is speaking to us, his children. I want to, on today, begin to deal with just a few things. And I do believe that it's important for us as the body of Christ to understand that we are at war. This is not a time for us to sit back and, you know, we're talking about peace, and prosperity, and greater in life, and everything else. And as we're doing that, amen, the enemy is saying, yeah, keep saying peace, while they're surrounding us. We don't even have watchmen on the wall. Sometimes because for some reason or another, they've been lulled into the sense of we have transcended from the battlefront into the open heavens and the blessings. And hey, listen, the devil ain't stopped fighting. Why did you put down your sword? Why aren't you up on the wall? Jesus Christ gave us power, but he did not relinquish, you know, the charge. So we don't have power to get the wealth without the responsibility to obey the commandments of God. So he's called us to this. And when we get to this, then we'll do what he's told us to do. So many of us are taking off our armor. Many are taking off their garments, and they're taking off those things that they need in order to be protected from the enemy. And the devil knows this. So he's sitting back and he's calculating, huh? His plan. He's calculating his fight. He's calculating how he's going to attack. And we have people who are so unaware of that they're sitting back and believing that, oh, nothing's going to happen. Nothing's coming. You know, we've overcome already. Listen, we're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb that was shed already. And the word of our testimony. Amen? But you got to go through a test to get a testimony. So people are walking around feeling that they don't have to go through anything, because when I got saved, God had already taken care of everything I'm going through. Now it's my job to enjoy the fullness and the goodness of life. If I fail to do so, then I'm not honoring God. Liar, liar, liar. Get yourself together. Preach the real gospel. Amen. This isn't about bringing in more money and you know, driving more cars. We just have dealt with in the past couple of weeks the death of one, the suicide of a few. Amen. The one thing is that I found out is that for the one who died, and I'm not mentioning any names, we are respecting the family, we're talking about the principal and not the person, amen? So we disregard the person's name, but we do talk about the principal behind what was going on, amen? The person had been sharing with everyone, you know, that as you are faithful to God and give to him and do for him, then God will reward you with material wealth. So the prosperity gospel has been preached and propagated throughout the world. And people feel that the real gospel is a gospel of prosperity. And that's not the gospel. I'll say it again. That is not the gospel. It is true that God will take care of us. He gives us the ability to get wealth. But when you focus on just that, then you miss the whole other aspects of what Christianity is, and trying to show yourself based on what you want to perceive to be successful, you begin to live opulent lifestyles beyond your means, and then go back and say, well, you know, I have faith in God. He's going to sustain me even in this. You know, just years ago, you were in the poorhouse and living in the impoverished parts of your communities, and you found out that you could go out and get the house out in the hills and in the suburbs, and so there you go. God loved me so much, he gave me this. But you didn't get the jobs, you didn't get the other things that you didn't build up. You have finance now, but you don't know how to be responsible to it. And it hasn't been taught to you because there's been people in pulpits telling you that if you give to them, then God will give to you. Listen, that's not what God said. He said, when you sow into the kingdom, you know, and that's into the kingdom of God, the church, not the person. Amen. When you do so, then God honors that and responds to that. Amen. And what we have then is when people are challenged, they are ill-equipped to deal with the challenge because they haven't been trained to fight the devil. Hello, somebody. They've been trained to try to show him how much you got. And the devil's not impressed with how much you got. You have to remember, Jesus was tempted after his 40 days of fasting in the wilderness. He was tempted. And one of the things that Satan tempted him with was giving him the kingdoms of the world and all their glory. In other words, everything that the kingdoms possess, I'll give to you if you will only worship me. So we think that because we have a little inkling, and look at the small percentage that we try to show off. The small percentage that you try to show off is nothing compared to what God has. Amen? And it's nothing compared to what Satan tries to offer you. But for what you try to show people is God, you misrepresent God because that is too small to be my God. Amen? Amen. So now let's get into what we really should be doing here. We keep hearing about these different ones who have gone through and had problems in their life, problems in their family, situations have come. The latest one that I've heard, prophetess, was the pastor who had lost his wife, a prophetess, he had lost her to an aneurysm about a year ago. And he kept saying, I'm hearing her voice and I'm hearing footsteps. And his child and his mother-in-law, in front of them, he took his life. See, we don't want to talk about these things. And I think they're coming to the forefront, not because it's a new event. It's not an anomaly. I believe that it is something that has been common but not talked about. No one wants the stigma of what my pastor did. No one wants the stigma of, you know, the church that I've been going to that the minister decided to end their life. That's decimates faith. It decimates people's perception and faith in God that he can sustain it. And I want you to know that God is able. He's able to keep you. He's able to deliver you. God is able to do what he says. But we got to have faith in God. And the reason why some of these things are happening is that we find that people have taken off that armor. Amen. So let's look at this here. Amen. When I began to study early this morning, we were in John 16, amen? And let's go back there so that we can bring this into perspective, amen, as we move forward. And it says here, John 16 and 31, this is where we were. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? And I asked that question last week, and we need to really contemplate the answer. You know, again, this week, do you now believe? When you have speculation in your belief system, then that means the enemy can come in is take you off your axis, if you will. What you believe and what you thought you believed, you'll find out that they're different things, because the enemy will come in like he did with Eve and begin to interpret what you believe and why you believe that. And you'll find out that what you end up believing is a lie to the truth that God has already spoken. Amen. So we have to be very careful that we do not get to a place where we're believing what we're hearing from the enemy. You got to get a spiritual life, a spiritual walk where you hear from him and him only. Amen. And when God speaks to you, then God will make sure that everything else about you, and I do mean everything else about you, is on point, because your natural life has to measure up with your spiritual life, and your spiritual life has to measure up to your natural life. People can't hear you talking deep, but see you walking shallow. Amen. People need to hear you talking deep, but see you living a deep life. And I'm not talking about so deep that people look at you as you scary or spooky. Amen. But knowing that when you begin to articulate the wisdom of God, that it comes forth with clarity. It comes forth with power. It comes forth with intelligence. You have the intellect to speak the word of God without befuddling people. Amen. No, we know it was God. Why? Because I couldn't understand the word he said. That wasn't God. God speaks in clarity. Amen. So when there's a place where you don't understand what is being said, you need to go and seek the answer. Amen. The Bible lets us know very clearly, in all you're getting, get an understanding. Amen. So we look for understanding. But even in the understanding, we can't allow ourselves to be swayed or persuaded away from the truth of God. Amen. That's what the enemy tries to do. The enemy tries to get you away from the truth of God. Amen. And if he tries to get you away from the truth of God to an opinion of man or anything else, then he can shift what your foundation is. Amen. When you need to stand firm on it and press against the foundation, the weight of whatever you're going through needs to be, you need to not sink into the sand and into the dirt, but you need to be able to stand upon it, because the foundation is sure. Then that means that whatever is built on a foundation won't sink either. Your life is built up on the foundation of your faith in Christ. Amen. And when you don't believe right, then you can't stand right. Amen. Listen what he goes on and says, 32nd verse. Indeed, the hour is coming. Yes, has now come. That means that this isn't prophetic. We're watching it. Amen. Yes, has now come that you will be scattered, each one to his own, and will leave me alone. We know that Jesus is speaking to his disciples about him, going into his passion. We know that he's about to deal with some issues. He's about to be charged, tried. He's about to be crucified. Amen. And when he is tried, they're going to lie on him. But he has to stand the test. They're going to put his name in their mouth, and they're going to take his words, and they're going to misappropriate the meaning of what he was saying. They're going to slander him. And yet and still, knowing the truth, he's going to have to go through that and not say a word. See, when he says, do you believe, he wants them to know that your belief or your faith is going to be tested. Amen? He said, each one of you to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Amen. These things I have spoken to you, that you may have peace, or that in me you may have peace. That means that as we trust in him, that's where our peace comes from. Amen. Mm-hmm. Without him, we don't have that peace that we seek. Amen. We have confusion. We have not only confusion, we have frustrations. Huh? And not only do we have frustration, we have disappointments and discouragement. So if you don't have firm faith in God, where's your faith in? And therein lies the problem, is that we're not believing in Him. We're believing in everything else. I said before that there were 12 spies that went out into the land of Canaan when the children of Israel first came out of Egypt. And of the 12, only two of them had the testimony that they're able to take the land. Yes, everything that you said is true. It's over there. It's ours for the taking. But 10 of them looked and said, we are like grasshoppers. We can't do this. So they've already determined in their heart and mind that even though we go over there, if we were to go, and you'll notice at the end, history records, the text, the scriptures record in the historical aspect of this, that when they finally went over in the book of Joshua, everyone fought. Now, when we deal with them coming out of slavery, in servitude up under the Egyptians, you see that everyone was not willing to fight. You see that? So their minds weren't right, and they died in their wilderness. And when they died in their wilderness, those who went into a promise. But the faith that sustained them the 40 years had to be in the word that God spoke at the very beginning. So if we're going to have peace, if we're going to have all of that, then we're going to have faith. Our belief is in God. Amen? We're trusting in Him. We're going to serve Him. We're going to do what He said. Amen? 33rd verse, these things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. Huh? Now listen to this. In the world you will have tribulations. So that means that those who are preaching, if you're going through, that ain't God, because obviously you did something wrong, because God, Jesus has already defeated the enemy at the cross. Yes, He did. That's how you got your salvation. But we're told to put on the whole armor of God. We're told to have authority, that we have authority over. I told you before, they are defeated, but they haven't stopped fighting. We in the United States understand, and in the world, you know that the United States have gone over to Iraq and Afghanistan and other places, and they have fought battles. They have fought wars. They have declared victory at some point in time and started walking around trying to, stabilize the area. But there were many casualties that came after the peace was said. Hello? There were deaths that came afterward. There were attacks that came. There were IEDs and other type of instances where after they said, we have won, we just have a few operations to finish. After they said, we have won, there were still casualties of war. Mm-hmm. See, and that's what's happened. We have declared victory at the cross, and some people have took off their Kevlar. They've taken off their armor. They've sat down. They've put their weapons down, and they started, celebrating, and the enemy is still waiting out there. Everybody that was defeated didn't give up. See, when you are not aware of what's going on, then you cause yourself problems in the long run. That means that the enemy can come right in. And because you say, oh, we at peace, come on in. Here, let me show you everything that I have, everything that I'm doing. Isn't it wonderful what's going on? And while you're doing that, you see, the enemy comes in and begins to destroy. He begins to destroy from within as a sheep, or a wolf in sheep's clothing. And we don't have discernment. Because we're not even looking See, in order for you to discern, you have to be looking to see what's there. Amen? So we don't even have discernment to see that the enemy is creeping into the house. He's creeping into the camp. Amen? And if he's creeping into the house and creeping into the camp, then what is he looking at? And what are you showing him? What is the enemy trying to take from you that you're willing to give him? And your answer will probably be nothing. But look at how close he is and how unaware you are. Amen? So we think that we don't have to go through anything. God has already done it. We got it. It's good. In the world, you will have tribulation. Amen? 2 Timothy 3:12, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. You see that? Huh? Let's look at that fully, because you need to understand, and this is what he began to speak to me this morning. He began to say, listen, there has to be a standard of these people who have gone on into the presence of the Lord, either for glory or for judgment, whichever way God knows, because that's his alone. Amen. But each one of them have to deal with what they have left behind. In succession, a kingdom is only as great as the king that left it to his successor. You see that? So the person who is coming in, if you tore down the kingdom, they'll come in to a tore down kingdom. You see that? When you come in, you don't come in with a new stack of cards and everything's reset. If there was a famine in the streets and you became the king, then guess what? You are king of a famished, impoverished nation. You see that? So you have to learn, or you have to know how to bring that kingdom back from that. Amen? Now, in these situations, we have to understand that we did not come from an impoverished nation. The kingdom of God is not impoverished. Amen? Mm-hmm. So we can't go from impoverishment to impoverishment, because when we got saved, we went from this kingdom of the world to the kingdom of God. Now, the resources and the capital, the currency is different. Somebody hear what I'm saying? Huh? So when you try to spend the world's currency in the kingdom, it has no value. You see that? And that's what people are trying to do. They're trying to bring the worldly value into the kingdom of God, and it doesn't have value. But you need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he'll cause everything else in you to come up to a standard. Amen? Amen. Look at here, 2 Timothy 13th verse. No, let's go back to the 10th verse. I want to start there. It says, but you have carefully followed my doctrine. This is Paul talking to Timothy. Amen. And see, that's the whole thing. Some people are out there, and I keep running into people who feel that, you know, I read the Bible and I grew up in church, you know, but I'm tired of looking at church people. I decided I'm just going to read the Bible and go my own. But guess what? If you really ask them how much of that Bible they read, it's probably zero to none. Amen? Because once they left that, they stopped using any type of authority from that. And you can't use authority of something you don't know or don't understand. The enemy knows when you blow smoke. You need to ask the seven sons of Sceva. Amen? Because they came in acting like they knew what they were doing. And when they came in acting like they knew what they were doing, that the demon reported back to them, asked them, or said to them, it says, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And when you are challenged, when you are tested, when you're using an authority that you are not validated to use, then there will be tests to that authority. And if you don't have the backing of that authority, what actually empowers it, you will be surely showed up. Amen. So here they are. Paul is talking to Timothy, and he says in his 10th verse, he says, but you have carefully followed my doctrine. Huh? That is what I'm saying. Not just what I'm saying, matter of life. What I'm living before you. Purpose. That means that I'm not living without purpose. I'm here with purpose. And I want you to see that what I'm doing here is not self-centered, is not self-aggrandizing, is not something that's going to lift me up. It's not about the kingdom of I or me or what I am. It's about the kingdom of God and giving God the Father the glory. Amen. We his children, our job is to be to the praise of his glory. Ephesians 1:6. Amen. So we need to learn how to live the life and demonstrate the power of the kingdom of God that brings glory to his name. You see that? So it's purpose. What's the next one? Faith. Amen. There was a young man who was going through some situations, and he said, I don't believe in Jesus. I believe in, Jehovah. Or, no, it was Yeshua, one of those. And I wanted to tell him that they were Jesus and Yeshua is one and the same. You're just using different linguistics in order to say it, but they're one and the same. But, you know, I let him go ahead and talk, and after he finished, then I said, do you believe in prayer? He said, yeah, I believe in prayer. I said, so can I pray for you? We're just going to pray. I'm going to pray. Okay, he said, yeah, that's fine. So I began to pray, you know, and ask God for clarity and ask God concerning his life to bring order and things, you know, in the name of Jesus. You know, and after that, he said, thank you for the prayer. Now, there were some people who were religious who actually asked me to pray for them because they know that I'm an apostle. So instead of saying no, because I could see that he was not ready for anything that was going to be deep, I just went ahead and complied. The Bible says, lay hands suddenly on no man. Amen. And we have to understand what that means. That means validating what's inside of them. Amen. Because when we pour oil upon you and lay hands upon you, then whatever is there, if we are not in agreement, we set a law or foundation within you. That's why people say, ooh, we have power and authority over demons to cast them out. Yes, we do, according to Mark, the 16th chapter, 17th verse. But before you can cast out a demon, you have to make sure the person wants it gone. See, we try to run and make the world better, and we make the world worse when we don't go with understanding. The Bible tells us that when a demon goes out, it's when cast out, it goes out into dry air places and being tormented, goes back to the house where it came from. That's the vessel. Seeing that it's swept and clean, goes and gets seven greater than itself and comes back into that place. And when it comes back in, the latter state is worse than the first. Why is that? Because if the person doesn't understand what door allowed that demon in the first place, then when he comes back with the seven greater, he'll go back through the same door. So instead of just laying hands and casting out, we need to instruct, teach, develop, mature, and then shut the door, shut the window, lock them tight. You understand? So people are walking around laying hands, casting stuff out, and you don't tell it where to go. I wish I had time to go through spiritual warfare right now, 101, but they don't tell it where to go. They don't tell, they don't put restrictions on it. They don't seal the vessel up afterward. They're just happy that when they said something, they saw a response, and they go shouting off into the sunset, you know, because the demons ran, okay? Well, the demons came back. Did you equip that vessel to stand? This young man didn't have faith for himself. So I didn't lay hands on himself. But like it says here, faith. I demonstrated my faith and extended it to him so that his life can be changed. When he gets to a healthier place or a whole place, then he can accept having faith in himself. Amen. Long-suffering here. Amen. Long-suffering means that even though we went through it once, we might have to go through it 2, 3, 4 times. Don't give up going through because you went through it one time. I already untold him. Listen, how many times has God spoken to you and you still got it wrong? Let's stop having short-suffering with people and expect God to have long-suffering with us and have long-suffering demonstrating the qualities, the character of Christ. Amen. We got to deal with people and keep on dealing with them. The Bible says one plant, many water. You see that? Not one water, but many water. That means that there's going to be times when you water, times when you water, times when you water. Other people are going to come say the same thing. They're going to go across the country, around the world, hear the same message. But at some point, that water is going to get into that seed that was planted, and it's going to spur growth. Amen. But look what it says. It says, but God gets the increase. That means no matter what you did, no matter how you tried to do it, no matter how you tried to prove to everybody it was your word, it was not about you. It was always about God getting the glory. So the increase comes from God. Love. We stop loving each other. We tolerate people now. You know, oh, I love you because the Bible says so. Uh-uh. Stop doing that. How about you love because that's what we're supposed to do? And then know that we're Christians by the love we show. There is no more love being shown. There's tolerance. Huh? I tolerate. They touch my nerve. Some people go to church just so that they can have something to talk about concerning people at the church. Whose hat is bigger? Who got the most sparkles on? Oh, she wore sequins today. He done wore those shoes 3 times in a row. I think he need to get some more shoes. Somebody need to take him shopping. Did anybody tell him that, you know what? Stop. Cut all that stuff out. We're not there for your critique of the fashion show you came to see. We're not there for you to be a judge on The Voice, huh? Trying to figure out who's going to be your favorite singer up in the choir stand or the praise team. We're not there for that. We're there to glorify God. And we're not going to glorify God when we're looking around ourselves and around people trying to figure out what we can hate on. Oh, let me just let that set there for a moment. Because we just thought that we want it right. Well, who said you are right? If you're not right, then your vision is wrong. So what you try to correct in other people may be getting it off because it's off in you. Help us, Jesus. What else here? What else here? Perseverance. I could take a while on this one. Perseverance deals with the fact that people start going through. As I said before, in this world, you will have tribulations. Huh? But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. In this world, you will have tribulation. People start going through stuff. People start going through test trials. Tribulation, they give up. We understand that it's going to be tough, but that's not the perseverance I want to talk about. When you come into the body of Christ and you're challenged on your stuff, you're challenged on your mindset, you're challenged on your pet sins, and you get challenged there, you find some other church where they ain't talking about your pet sin. You know, you go somewhere where they welcome that, and you talk about people trying to judge me. Stop talking about people trying to judge me, amen. The Bible talks about us not judging those who are in the world. You see, when we start questioning or saying all this stuff, we need to get clarity. He said, listen, don't you know that we're going to judge angels? Howbeit, we need to judge those that are in the household of faith. But God will judge those who are in the world. So when we judge not, we're not talking about sinners. We're talking about, when we say judge not, we're not talking about saints. We're talking about sinners. Because our job is to love them and not judge them. When they get saved and come in and begin to walk this walk, it is our job to mature and develop them. And then judge them or hold them up to the standard of holiness. That standard is in the Word of God, not in an opinion. You see that? So when you come and you start judging the world by your standard in the household of faith, you are wrong. Get them in. Get them saved. Get them strengthened so that they can go through. Amen? So that they can mature. Now, this perseverance deals with that staying in the process when God places you in the process. Instead of breaking down and giving up and walking away talking about you can't do it, go through and let him finish his work. Woo, Jesus. But, huh? Well, let's run over here right quick, because, yes, I just seen that. I just saw it. Let's go over to James, the first chapter. Amen. Huh? It says in the second verse, My brother, encountered all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith, that means that what is inside of you, what you believe, is going to be tested. It's going to be put through the paces. Amen. Don't tell me that you saved and you trusted in God, because when a test comes for you to show that and demonstrate that you're saved and you're trusting in God, don't fall there. Keep trusting in God. Keep your testimony, but let your testimony be backed up by the life you live. Your actions should prove that you're still trusting in Him. Amen? So when you fall into various trials, count it all joy, when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. I'm just short with everybody. Okay, that's why you're still in the test and the trial. I just don't take no mess. Right. You don't take no mess. But you want God to put up with yours. And He's trying to show you, you got to have more of His character. That's why you're still in the test and trial. You see that? Because your faith is being tested. Testing of your faith. You see that? They're not testing your love. They're not testing your character. They're not testing anything else. When these tests and trials come, they come to test your faith. And from faith to faith, from glory to glory, you are being developed in Him. Amen. This is part of the process of getting you ready to do what God called you to do. For you to be able to stand in the office. For you to be able to walk within the mantle of what He's called you to do. Amen. The mantle constricts and conforms you to a certain order, a certain form. Amen. So you can't have the form of a sinner and walk in the office of a prophet. Amen. The mantle constricts and it pulls you in and it disciplines you to the order. Amen. So when you are being tested, all of this stuff is done to test your faith. But when your faith is tested, it produces patience. Amen. Look at what it says here. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Okay? Now, when we see that, perfect and complete, we see that we have to let patience have its perfect work. So when we're here in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and the 10th verse saying perseverance, we're saying that while you're going through your processing and your development, persevere. Let your test and your trial and the process, let it continue so that you can be complete. You see that? Whatever is in you that's not God will be worked out through the process. We have to allow ourselves to go through that. Now, 11 first starts something that we have to really look at, and it says persecutions. Because as soon as somebody in the world, when somebody put your name in their mouth, that was time to meet them and talk about why you got my name in your mouth. People are talking about you, and you cutting people left and right. If y'all could, I wish y'all say my name one more time. Listen, you're a saint now. You're a Christian now. People are going to say your name. And when they say your name, they're not always going to mean it for your good. Oh, okay. So you've been listening to people tell you that He's going to make your enemies be your footstool. My brothers and sisters, we have to wait till the rapture and the appearance of Christ to come for that. You understand? That is part of what He comes when He comes back and He brings with them those saints that are riding on their white horses, and He begins to defend through the sword, which is His word that is in His mouth. He begins to speak and devour the nations and the enemies of Him. Then that's when all of that comes. We've been sitting around waiting on Day Day across the street and Sister Blue Toe around the corner that goes to church that seem to always got something to say. You waiting on them to fall prey to what you want. And that's not God's will. Huh? God told us, he said, listen, do not return evil for evil. Mm-hmm. Oh, we don't want to read those scriptures because we waiting on vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Yes, it is. It's His. But while He's waiting to avenge you, He tells you to love those. Bless those who curse you. Oh, persecutions, okay. See, when Paul says, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, this next word, afflictions. Uh-huh. Because I've gone through some stuff. It wasn't just what you said. It's what you did to me. It was the blows I took at your hands when you thought you were doing something right. When I said something that got on your nerves so bad that you sought me out to destroy me and you attacked me. You attacked my character. When you attacked my physical body. When you attacked those around me. When you attacked the ministry. When you came after those things. I went through afflictions. But you have carefully followed that. You see that? Huh? Because when we say, listen, I don't have to go through anything, then we put upon ourselves, and this is Paul speaking, I keep saying this, because I want you to understand that this was after Christ. This was after the cross. You understand? And so this battle that we're fighting now is not with salvation, but it's with the world. And a lot of times it's with those who have so much of the world inside themselves, they can't give it up for Christ. Amen? We got more churches and denominations and other things. Prophetess told me last week or a week before, she said that she was approached by some people in a coven and asked her if she wanted to be a part of it. A coven is a cackle of witches. See, we don't take that serious. Oh, that's just that Disney Channel. No, that's not Disney Channel. That is the world. That is the world we live in. And if you don't have faith in God, you'll be looking at all that stuff thinking that, oh, that's just something that's make-believe. Brothers and sisters, just as real as your faith is, they have faith in what they believe. We're dealing with demonic forces and things, spiritual anomalies that we don't have knowledge of because we've been running after cars, houses, and bank accounts and clothing and other stuff and trying to show people how rich we are, how endowed we are. And guess what? You got the talk, but you don't have the walk. Let's get back to the warfare that we're called to. Amen? So when he said that he didn't experience all of these things and these afflictions just at one place, look at what he says, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, huh? What persecutions I endured. What have you gone through? What will you allow yourself to go through? Or are you so prideful that when you start going through something, you're ready to leave the church and go to another church where they can recognize your gift and calling? Are you able to go through, or are you ready to shut everybody down because they don't believe and they ain't got what I got, and that's why y'all all, see? Stop. Hold it. Don't mess yourself up. God is trying to get us to a place where we understand that this right here, this here, is his will, purpose for our life. It's that we endure. Paul endured. You see that? Then we get, we look at this. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Now, if you don't get to the end, how do you know that God can deliver? And if you don't get to the end where God delivers, how valid is your testimony? See, there are a lot of people standing up and lying in church because as soon as the test and trial came, you was like, oh, no, that, oh, no. And you walked away from the test. You walked away from the trial. You walked away from the processing. You walked away from the thing that was going to develop you into the person that God called you to be. So now you are ill-equipped to actually stand up and do what God called you to do. You see that? And the test and the trial come, and then it looks like this, and you still back away. There's some people who would not go towards anybody who looks like they might be a problem, trying to find the easy way out. And God didn't call you to easy out. He called you to go through with my grace, huh? With my mercy, with my provision. Paul said, listen, I had this thing that was bothering me. Excuse me, he caught a thorn in the flesh. He said, and I prayed three times that the Lord would deliver me from it. But each time he said, listen, my grace is sufficient for you. In other words, I need you to be a testimony that even in that, I can bring you out, bring you through. You are going to be the validation of faith for somebody who needs to see a validation of faith in their life. Huh? So while you're going through, it's not for your destruction. It's for your making. And second, it's for your testimony. See, your testimony is what people look for. When you aren't there, we call this your brand, if you will. When you aren't there, what do people say about you? We know what you are and what your brand is because 2 minutes in your presence, if you haven't spoken about it, then, you know, something's the matter. We had a place where I went for a leadership conference, and they said, what is your brand? And they began to speak about your brand, which is what represents you. In 7 words or less, describe your brand. 7 words or less, describe yourself. And when we did it, it was, they said, that's your brand, really. You know, how did you come up with these 7 words? You know, and people had phrases. People had just 7 words that they live by, you know, confidence, character, you know, integrity, you know, things like that. My 7 words were Apostle Christopher McQueen, child of God. You know, and I said, you know, that right there really wraps up the brand that I represent. When you run into me, you'll always hear something about who he is to me. But always, I represent who I am to him. I'm his child. My character can't be that on Sunday morning. And I believe I said it before, there's 168 hours in a week. But of 168 hours, you're only going to stand up and minister on a Wednesday night, probably an hour. Or 45 minutes to an hour, and on Sunday you're going to minister about 45 minutes to an hour. So that means that you have 166 hours a week to validate being able to say something 2 hours a week. And if your life don't measure up, then you don't even have 2 hours to speak because you don't have validation of what you're about to say. How much of your week of that 168 is actually developed or devoted to God? Well, hello, hallelujah. I think some people really have to take some time and look at that. If you calculate it down, if you wrote down, you had a journal of the time that you slept, television programs you watched, conversations you had, texting, tweeting, Facebooking or social media and all the rest of that, and then how much of that time actually went towards your kingdom development, the kingdom of God development, not your kingdom, but kingdom of God development, how much of that time would be very little compared to everything else? I think that's an exercise some people really need to do. Huh? Because when you do so, then you'll see how little you actually give to God, but how much you really expect from him for that 168 hours. Disproportionately, we don't give him his due. There's sometimes not even a tithe. You see that? Of your time and energy towards reading the word, praying, going to church or anything else. So we need to do this better, amen? He said, here, he said, and out of them all, the Lord delivered me. How can he deliver you if you're not connected? See, there's something I say, you can't just make contact with people. You have to connect with them. Contact means when there's a pull, one way or the other, the contact can be broken. A little stress contact is broken. But when you're connected, then when you pull, they move. And when they pull, you move. Amen? And we have to learn how to connect to the body of Christ So when the body of Christ moves, we move. You see that? When we move, the body of Christ moves. Amen? And that's why when the Lord delivers the body out, you come out with the body when you are connected. If you have contact, then you, when the body comes out, then you still left back there waiting on somebody to deliver you. Brothers and sisters, get connected to the body. Amen? Get connected to Christ. It is your relationship that connects you in. Amen? 12th verse, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So when we talk about going through and enduring and persevering and staying in the process in dealing with this, regardless of what comes, make up in your mind that you are going to go through and you're going to deal with it. Listen, my brothers and sisters, let me just read this next one. Let me just read down. It says, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned that and have and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. He's instructing him that what you've been taught and what you've gone through, hold on to that. Don't get up here and become brand new. And don't let something brand new deter you from what you already know. Amen? Huh? Which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. 16th verse, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that every man may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Let me go back up here to the 12th verse here. Huh? It says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Listen, in this year coming, we're coming out of 2013, but coming into 2014, there are some things that we're starting to see the beginnings of this year. Giants that were perceived in the land are beginning to fall. Amen. Ministry that we have seen in the land that seem to be unshakable, immovable, are being shaken and moved. Amen. The foundation of which should have been Christ have become other things. And it's those other things that they begin to build up besides Christ, the foundation, that are beginning to fall. The problem is as they fall, they begin to pull the whole structure down with it. God is saying he's doing something, and we who are spiritual need to have spiritual insight into what's going on. Listen to what the Spirit of God is saying. Stop yelling peace and safety, because when you keep saying peace and safety, people are picking up the whole armor of God. They've taken off the armor. Brothers and sisters, it's time to put the armor back on. When you put that armor on, then you'll be able to withstand what's coming in these couple of years that we're about to face. Everybody talking about Obama. It's not Obama. Mm-mm. See, y'all got this all messed up. The ones who are yelling Obama are the ones who should be shot with the gospel of the preparation of the gospel of peace. They're the religious right who should be those who are running out talking about, listen, we're not fear-mongering and trying to get a civil uprising up. We're trying to bring peace in the land. That's what our job is, not to try to figure out how to scare people into a vote that we want. God is going to judge all of them and all of that. We got to do the right thing. Amen? Come on, let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this word. We thank you because you're taking us into a healthy, a wealthy place. You're helping us, Lord, to see what we need to see. Now, Lord, as we progress through all of these things, as we leave out of one year and go into another, help us to prepare our hearts, our minds, and our spirit for what you said so that we can do what you called us to do. Lord, we love you. We honor you. We bless you. And we know that this is something that you called us to. So help us to do those things that we need to do so that we can demonstrate your grace, your glory, your power in the earth, in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, I pray for those who are not saved, Lord, that they would pray this prayer. Father, forgive me of my sin. Wash me in the name of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation
In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, I pray that God will lead you to a Bible teaching, a Bible-believing church, that you may be developed, matured, and go on to do the work that God called you to do. Go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There, I want to hear from you. On the contact us page, down there you'll see prayer requests, information, and speaking engagements. If you click on the link there, you can leave us a testimonial of what God has done for you. I pray that you become a vision partner with us and go on to do what God called you to do. Help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. We want you to know that it's God's will for you to live the kingdom lifestyle. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and this is Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. Be blessed in the name of the Lord, and we love you to life. God bless you all.